All right, the Valley of Kidron, there we go, for our folks on Zoom, which is also known as the Valley of Judgment. And at this point in the story, we turn to the stories of Jesus' judgment and condemnation. There is so much in these stories. I could go on for an hour, but I won't. But today, we're just going to focus on a series of statements by Jesus and Peter in our reading tonight that include a revelation, a denial, and a calling. So Jesus is in the garden with his disciples when the Roman soldiers and the temple police arrive carrying torches and weapons. Jesus immediately comes out of the garden to meet them. In John's gospel, we always see Jesus taking the initiative to move the action forward. Jesus is an actor in this gospel, not a victim of what is happening. And Jesus always seems to just be in control of the action, all the way even through the crucifixion. Jesus is the one in charge of what is happening. And so he comes out and he says, "For who are you looking?" And they say, "Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, that rebel from Galilee." And Jesus responds, "I am." Now, our good English translation makes it a nice English sentence, and so it says, "I am he." But what the Greek says is, "Ego emi," which we've heard all through John's gospel, "I am." "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the living water. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way and the truth. I am the resurrection and the life." These words, "I am," also echo God's revelation to Moses. Back when Moses asked for God's name, "I am who I am." And so Jesus steps forward and reveals himself to them, "I am." And it is earth-shattering. They step back and fall down before him. And just a note, I read this week that the cohort that Judas brings, the Roman soldiers, one commentary said 200 soldiers, another said 600 soldiers. We're talking about a bunch of people. Now, John may have been, you know, exaggerating a little bit. So this is a spectacle. All these soldiers and guards just fall into the ground before Jesus. They're powerless before him. And again, you get this sense, and it continues through the trial and through the crucifixion, that they could do nothing to Jesus without his consent and his willingness for all of this to happen. And it's almost as if Jesus needs to remind them. So, "For whom are you looking?" And they say, "Oh, Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "Yes, I have told you, I am he. Take me and leave these others here." And here we see Jesus taking that role as the "I am the gate, I am the shepherd of the sheep." That Jesus literally puts himself at the entrance to the garden between all the guards and soldiers and his disciples, as their protector, the one who cares for them. But Peter, of course, tries to stop things, always Peter, so he pulls a sword. Now, I have never imagined Jesus' disciples walking around with swords, but I suppose with all the threats against Jesus, maybe he went and dug one up. And he swipes off the ear of a slave, and Jesus says, "You stop, put that away. That is not how we do things. If you were here Sunday, that is not God's kind of king," right? Jesus will not meet violence with violence. Jesus is willing to go into this death, is willing to drink this cup that God has given. And so he says, Peter, be calm. This is what needs to happen. So the soldiers take Jesus away, and Peter and one other disciple, probably the beloved disciple, because he is there with Jesus all the way to the cross. Just these two disciples follow Jesus. And so before we are too hard on Peter for what he's about to do, remember that all the other disciples seem to get lost in the garden, and only these two follow even this far. In the courtyard of the high priest, Peter denies not that he knows Jesus or knows who Jesus is, but being a disciple of Jesus. First, the guard says, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And he says, "I am not." And then, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" "I am not." And then finally, that relative of the slave that he had injured says, "I'm sure I saw you in the garden." "Oh, no, not me." Jesus knows just who he is and whose he is. And his response in the face of evil and judgment and betrayal is, "I am." Peter doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what's happening, and he seems to even have forgotten whose he is. In response to his fear and uncertainty, he says, "I am not. I am not." Haven't we all been there, my friends? Haven't we, in much less dangerous situations than Peter, conveniently denied or forgotten being disciples of Jesus? When we have failed to invite the outcast or failed to feed the hungry, when we have walked right past a homeless person on the street or closed our ears to the stories of refugees coming through our city, when we have shared of our resources and time only what our own comfort allows. There's a story that I may have told you before, but it just has been in my head this week as I think about this idea of denying who we are as followers of Christ. So one time I was at a grocery store. I was way up across town, and the person at the checkout was quite clearly a gender fluid person. And they were checking me out. I said hi. And then two of the coworkers walked by and they started to harass them. And say really like mean things to each other about this person. And I just froze. And I wanted so badly to say something about, "I see you. You know, you are beloved, you're okay." And I thought about saying, "You know, I'm the pastor of a church across town where you would be welcome." But I thought, you know, so many trans and gender fluid people have been taught to mistrust church. I'm not sure that would be the best lead-in. I didn't really say anything. I said, "Oh, hard day, isn't it?" or something. And they said, "You know, yeah, every day, you know," and just didn't really ever meet my eyes. And I left. And I thought about this person for days. Talking to Lee, I thought, yeah, I mean, why didn't I stand up and say to those other coworkers, "That is not okay"? Why didn't I go to the manager and say, "I am witnessing harassment in your store"? You know, but I didn't. I didn't. And I always have thought of that as a moment of just denying and forgetting who I am as a person who follows Jesus and shares that word of Jesus' love with all the people who need to hear it. We do forget and we do deny, but not every time. There's another scene in Peter's story with Jesus. Again, they are gathered at a charcoal fire, and it is at the Sea of Galilee, and the risen Christ comes to breakfast with them, with his disciples. And he comes to Peter and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Yeah, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep." And then he says again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Of course I love you." And he says, "Feed my lambs." And then that third time, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Why do you keep asking?" And he says, "Feed my sheep." Jesus forgives Peter, and he calls Peter back into discipleship, back into the community of disciples, and he tells him to go ahead and go about the work of being a disciple in the world. He tells him what it means to be a disciple. "Feed my sheep, care for my people, show the love that I have shown you." That's what it means to love me and to follow me. So this season of Lent, We have been looking at the core values of our congregation: hospitality and service, worship and giving, and faith formation. But really, all of these things come down to one simple, not easy, but simple thing, which is following Jesus, being disciples of Jesus. There are times that we deny being disciples, and then there are times that we embrace it. And so today, I am going to invite each one of you, if you wish, to come forward and receive a blessing and a commissioning. I'm going to make a sign of the cross. I have some scented oil on your hand. And just to remind you that you are beloved of God, and to remind you that God calls you to do God's work, that you are called to follow Jesus, and that is the best life we have. So I'm going to go first to our Zoom call, and then I'll invite each of you, if you wish, to come forward and receive the blessing. And if you prefer not to have the scented oil, just let me know. But it's a real mild scent.